Welcome in to the noon hour here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline is off today. She'll be back with us on Monday. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. We'll talk some Preds during the 1 o'clock hour. An enormous win last night for them to finish off their pre-All-Star break schedule with three straight dramatic home victories. We'll talk about that in the next hour. But in the meantime, as we promised you earlier, we're going to get the lay of the land in Kansas City with our good friend Soren Petro from 810, who knows that team backwards and forwards. We want to get the scoop on what's going to happen in the AFC Championship game, but also some things brewing with the offensive coordinator position for the Titans. Are there a couple of guys on that staff that might be a good fit? We'll see. Soren, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us today.
It's always my pleasure. I love Nashville as a city. It's always great to visit there. And a quick shout-out to my buddy Shane Horsley, one of my friends who moved from here down to Nashville. He's a big fan of you guys and listens all the time. Finest beer league softball center fielder known to man.
Wow. Is he a free agent? I'm sure there's some people listening going, hey, we need a center fielder.
You got to look it up. Now he glides around like Andrew Jones in center field and does it while running with a 20-ounce beer.
That's what any team. Any team is looking for a guy like that. That's who you want on your team. Well, Soren, first of all, I know it's probably a 24-hour round-the-clock question here, but you know your level of optimism that Patrick Mahomes will be able to function okay with the high ankle sprain. We watched the whole season here with Ryan Tannehill trying to deal with something very similar.
Yeah, and it is what everyone's talking about. You know, I was at the press conferences yesterday and the day before, and Todd Lebo, who works with me and covers the team, is literally sitting there holding his phone ready to record when the door opens up and Patrick Mahomes walks in, right? We have to get every step on video, and I thought it was interesting. Mahomes comes in, turns, and made a point to skip a step going up onto the little platform that has the podium there inside the stadium. So he was clearly, he knows he's on display, and he's trying to give every indication that he's fine. When they shoot the video you're seeing, it's just at the very beginning of practice where they stretch and warm up and then a couple of warm-up drills. That's all they let you shoot, and none of it does he ever have to change direction. He looks pretty good. Both ankles are taped up. But the real question is going to be, can he move laterally when he's in the pocket and he gets pressure? And we're not going to know that till Sunday. My expectation is, no, he won't be able to. And so we're going to see a very limited Patrick Mahomes, one that's going to have to live from the pocket, which he's very good at, but it means, you know, Andy Reid might have to keep some people home to help protect because he's not going to be able to just run away from them the way he normally does.
It's funny. I mean, that is a exact same thing that we were saying all week about Tannehill. They did show him with some video where he was throwing passes. He looked like he wasn't limping. He was walking to the podium, and then he missed the next two games. I mean, missed them entirely, of course, including the one at Arrowhead Stadium that you remember very well, Sunday night game, which was a great game. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I will say this. If this were week six and the Chiefs were 5-1 or 4-2, I don't think there's any way he'd be playing this weekend.
Yeah, that's a fair point, I think. You got to try in a game of this caliber. So what about that injury aside, the matchup with Cincinnati? It's well told. Cincinnati has been able to find ways to beat Kansas City, one of the few teams that's had that kind of success against this team. What about the matchup?
You know, I think it's clear. The first thing, like, to solving a problem is admitting you have a problem. And I think even going into that third game, there was no admission that there's a problem. Now, let's be clear. They haven't lost 40-10, 37-6. I mean, all three games have been field goal games. The Chiefs have led in all of them, really led after three quarters in all of them. So there's a lot of reason to believe that, you know, maybe it's just bad luck. Maybe it's just timing. You know, the music stopped at the wrong time when the Chiefs weren't in front of a chair. This time it'll stop at a different time, and they'll be fine. But I think you'd be fooling yourself if you didn't really examine what's gone wrong. And I think the Chiefs will. Andy Reid's a great football coach, and they'll turn over every stone to be better. And I think that the key is a couple of things. One, the Bengals aren't intimidated. They're a team that follows their quarterback, his lead, with a lot of swagger, and they come in confident, ready to play. They're not beat when they run out on the field. They don't melt when they see Patrick Mahomes run out there. And so I think that's one of the things. I give great credit to Zach Taylor for creating a new culture in Cincinnati, and Joe Burrow, I think, is a big part of that as well. So I think that's the first thing. Defensively, they flood the backfield with plenty of DBs, plenty of coverage. You know, they rush four or three. They almost never blitz. Three with a spy and make sure that Patrick Mahomes can't beat them with his legs. They do that as effectively as anyone. And I think there was a bit of a wake-up call even coming down the stretch run for the Chiefs. And I think they've, you know, they tweaked the offense when they lost Tyreek Hill. They knew how teams were playing them. They've been playing them this way for really a couple of years, but they didn't fully embrace all the things, and maybe Mahomes didn't fully embrace all the things he needs to do to be effective. And when you see Jerick McKinnon get 8 touchdown catches, 9 for the season, and tie the NFL record for touchdown catches by a running back, but 8 in the last 6 games, it just shows how they embraced checking it down, using the running backs. And so I think they are better equipped offensively to handle their defense, but I expect more of the same, maybe with a few blitzes because Mahomes should be more of a stationary target. But for the most part, they drop as many people as they can and try to frustrate Patrick Mahomes.
Now, Seren, with that being said, and obviously the injury plays a big factor, do you think they are preparing potentially to have Chad Henning come in a game? He came in sparingly last game, did a pretty good job. But, you know, knowing that they can win with a Chad Henning, do you think that they, throughout practice, are putting in packages just in case?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, Henny's not as mobile as Mahomes, so maybe the packages are the same now, right? Because Mahomes is more Henny-esque, so whatever Andy Reid's dialing up, which should be effective for either one of the quarterbacks. You know, Henny came in and led a 98-yard drive. It's the longest postseason drive in Kansas City Chiefs history. I mean, it was a big moment for that team. You know, you're wondering where your star's going, your leader's going. And here comes the backup, and he calms everything down. And you know, the drive took so long, Mahomes had time to go in, get x-rayed, come out, and then cheer the last, like, 30 or 40 yards of the drive and celebrate at the end. And so, you know, he did that 2 years ago when Mahomes went down with a concussion against the Browns in the divisional round and steadied the ship, completed a big fourth and one to Tyreek Hill to seal the deal and close it out and get to the victory formation. So he's made those type of plays before. I think there's a lot of confidence in him doing that. Could you win a game with him if he has to play early, if Mahomes would get hurt? I think he can. You know, they got, you know, he got hurt actually in 2019, their Super Bowl championship season along the way, and wasn't available when Mahomes dislocated his kneecap. So Matt Moore, the third quarterback, came in, almost beat the Packers, a very good Packer team, and then did beat a playoff-bound Minnesota Viking team that year. So Andy Reid's pretty good with the backup. I wouldn't want to see him have to do it for 2 games, like win this one and then play again in the Super Bowl with Chad Henne. I don't think there's a Jeff Hostetler story waiting to be written around Chad Henne. But if they need a drive, a series, a half, or maybe even a game, there is a path to victory still with Chad Henne on the field.
Now, how big was the acquisition of Juju Smith-Schuster? Because you lose Tyreek Hill. And I'm not saying he's anything close to Tyreek Hill, even though Juju had his years where he was highly productive. Mecole Hardman is in and out of the lineup. But the one guy that has been consistent, not only Kelsey, but Juju, how big of an acquisition was that for the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know, I'd stop just short of saying critical, just because, you know, he's been down this year and they've played well and won. But it was really important. I mean, they need the guy to kind of be the opposite to Travis Kelce, to be the intermediate guy like Travis Kelce is. And that's Andy Reid talked about that 4 or 5 weeks ago, about how important he's been for them to really kind of be able to spread the field and have somebody for everywhere. He's a bigger wide receiver. He's physical after the catch. You know, he runs through arm tackles. And that's something they obviously have to do. Teams are playing them to take away over the top. They still had, when he was healthy, Mecole Hardman, a guy who was almost as fast as Tyreek Hill. They signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling as well, who was the only guy who actually clocked a faster speed on the field than Tyreek Hill last year. So they still had guys that could take the top off, but it was clear that they had to get better at the intermediate stuff. They had to get better at the short stuff, which means catch and run. And Juju does that very well. So he's been a very important part of the equation. You know, when they went to replace Tyreek Hill, they knew they weren't going to find one guy to do it. Juju was part of that equation. Valdes-Scantling was part of that equation. They worked on trading for Kadarius Toney in the offseason. Didn't get it done, but at the trade deadline brought him in as well. All those pieces were pieces that they thought that they could diversify and make up for everything Tyreek Hill took with him. Not exactly the way he does it, but make up that production and do it. And that may sound after the fact, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes said, I think the last week of training camp, you know, he was asked about, you know, if somebody brought fantasy football or something. He said, I'm afraid you fantasy football guys are going to be disappointed because it ain't going to be one guy. We're going to spread the ball all around. 1 week it's going to be this guy. 1 week it's going to be this guy. 1 week it's going to be that guy. Well, Juju was definitely president of the club. He was the best one of the bunch to have. But all the guys have had big days. And credit Patrick Mahomes for being able to spread the ball around.
Now, another guy that I've come to enjoy watch playing is Isaiah Pacheco. He's a physical, tough runner. He almost reminds you when he gets the ball because of the number 10. He looks like Tyreek Hill just a tad bit because he runs so physical when he gets the ball in his hands. Do you see them leaning on – can Andy Reid lean on him knowing that Patrick Mahomes is hobbled?
Yeah, and he's a great story because his senior year at Rutgers, he averaged like 3.5 yards a carry. That's why he lasted to the seventh round, even though he runs a 4.35 40, right? You see that speed and that burst, and then he runs physical as well, and he's given a physical side to the Chiefs that was really lacking. They've got some physical offensive linemen. Creed Humphrey at center, Trey Smith at right guard are very physical players, and he delivers a punch, and he gets guys fired up by running through some arm tackles and being physical. And really early on, he had almost no vision. It was like run till you hit something was almost his style. He's gotten better at being more patient. Credit Eric Bieniemy on really working with him on that. And he is something that's really important. And they need that physical style. And yes, you know, he got 12 carries for 95 yards. I would expect a few more carries. If that doesn't play out, the problem is he's not as good catching the ball. He's not very good at all at blocking. And they've got a guy in Jerick McKinnon who's the old man of the running back locker room, but is, I think, the best blocking running back in the NFL. You know, he handles twists and splits and hands off, linebackers to the guard and picks up the defensive end and stands in there, delivers a punch on linebackers when they come on the blitz. And I think that might be an important part of the equation. Andy, for the first time, has really kind of gone to, hey, Jerick, you're the third down back. Isaiah, you're first and second. Usually he likes a guy to just be in there and be the guy and do everything. He's done a great job of maximizing both their strengths. So I think there'll be a piece of the game plan for both those guys. But to your point about Pacheco, yes, if he's held in check for less than 20 yards, it's going to be a long day for the Chiefs.
We're talking to Soren Petro from 810 over in Kansas City. You brought up Eric Bieniemy. Soren, it's probably the last thing on most Chiefs' minds right now. But here, the last week, heard was Tennessee had asked for permission to talk to both Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy for the opening here for offensive coordinator. What were your thoughts when you saw that, and is there any indication that they're going to grant permission, or do we just have to wait and see how this plays out on the field first?
You know, I think they will grant permission. I think Andy Reid, does a good job of, he's got a great coaching tree. Obviously, they didn't sneak out of town. They get their interviews, and I think, reality has set in that Eric Bieniemy is not going to be hired as a head coach. And that's disappointing because his resume certainly says he should be a head coach. But it's disappointing because I like the guy. It's disappointing because I think he's a good football coach and a good guy. But I think there are some things that are lacking in his game as a coach, right? He was terrible at the podium when he first got the offensive coordinator's job. He's gotten better. He's gotten more polished. He's still not the best. So if he does a poor job against what is a small, and let's be honest, pretty peaceful Kansas City media, do you think he's going to be dynamic when he's interviewing in front of a billionaire owner? I don't think so. Tony Dungy had that knock that he didn't interview well. I've heard that about Eric Bieniemy. There's also the fact that I know Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson overcame these things to get head coaching jobs, but it is still a knock that he doesn't really call the plays. Andy Reid does. And I think that's things that those guys overcame, but probably overcame by being better interviewers. And I think there's just a little, and there's some background and history that, some off the field things from his days at Colorado that I think surface and have some, a reason to pause for concern. You're like, well, if we have this, and I'm not really blown away by the interview, and he hasn't called plays, you could see where he would keep finishing second or third. Now, he was offered by people I was told the Saints offensive coordinator job last year after he lost out for the head coaching job, and he didn't take it. But I've said before, look, Marvin Lewis was incredible as the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. But people forget his last job before becoming the head coach of the Bengals was defensive coordinator for the football team in Washington. He left and 1 year turned around Washington, proved that it wasn't just a great coaching staff and everything going on at Baltimore. And that's what got him the Bengal job. And I've been screaming for Eric Bieniemy to do that. If they're not giving you the head coaching job, go kick down some of those doors that they say you can't do and prove it someplace else. And I think if he's going to interview that way for that coordinator job, it proves that he's open to that and is willing to maybe take a different path to becoming a head coach, because the shadow of Andy Reid is certainly not working for him right now.
Any sense, if you had to guess, who would be the more likely offensive coordinator candidate, Nagy or Bieniemy for the Titans? Who would it be in your mind?
I would say it would be, if it comes down to it's just a two-horse race, I would say it's Eric Bieniemy, because I don't think Matt Nagy's going to leave. Matt Nagy's college teammate at Delaware was Brett Veach, the general manager. Andy Reid is 61, 62 years old. I think he's going to coach as long as he can physically do it. But Matt Nagy went to Chicago, came back. He liked Kansas City. He likes Kansas City again. He's got a young family. I don't know that he wants to be the stop, you know, go from town to town, which is part of the deal as a coach. But if you can wait your turn, have success, and you get the offensive coordinator job in Kansas City, and your college teammate is the general manager, you look like the coach in waiting for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think for the reasons I said about Eric Bieniemy, I think the best thing for Eric Bieniemy's career, if he wants to be a head coach, is to take the job. So I think Nagy will be harder to pull away, even though he's only the quarterback coach here in Kansas City. And Eric Bieniemy should be wanting to improve that resume and polish it off. So from a standpoint of who would be more likely to take the job, I think it's very much Eric Bieniemy. But, you know, I'm not on the inner workings. That's just my read. I mean, I know some people. I have conversations. Connecting all the dots that I've been given, that's the way I would think that this shapes up. Now, if they don't want Eric Bieniemy and they come with an over-the-top offer and Mike Vrabel says the entire offense is yours, that might be a job that, you know, that might be an offer that's, you know, one that he can't, Matt Nagy can't, you know, turn down. But, you know, all things being equal, I would lean towards Eric Bieniemy. But, again, certainly not on the inside down in Nashville.
Soren, excellent insight as always. Enjoy another big playoff game at Arrowhead. We can't wait to watch on Sunday.
We're looking forward to it as well. Thanks for having me, guys. Make sure you get Shane on your softball team.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of softball coaches taking note for sure. Soren Petro from KC, 810 AM, excellent sports talk show host over there. We've had him on so many times. Stay tuned. When we come back, we will sort of process this. And then remember, Ask D-Mace is coming up at 1230. So get your texts and calls ready for him. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Coming up at 12:30, it will be Ask D-Mace, brought to you by Coratian CBD. Find their healing products at CoratianCompany.com. Coratian CBD products, curated for life. Now, that's coming up at 12:30, so get your questions ready. But D-Mace, that was very good stuff from Soren Petro. Made me think a little bit, especially on the offensive coordinator situation. So, what did you take out of that regarding Bieniemy? That was interesting perspective on Bieniemy, who's been there for so long. And this is something you've heard in the past about certain guys as to why they don't end up moving up the ladder when it seems from afar that it should have happened by now. Not quite as good, polished in interview settings, maybe not great with the press. I don't know. I mean, we've heard this before about different guys.
Yeah.
So what do you take out of that regarding Bieniemy specifically?
I mean, we've heard it about. That's the knock on Bieniemy. Not that he can't coach. I mean, the other knock is, you know, how much say does he have in this Andy Reid's offense?
Yeah, those two things together, not great with the media, not great in interviews, and he doesn't call the plays. We've heard that rap.
But, you know, Soren said, you know, that was the rap, you know, on Nagy. Can he, you know, but Nagy was able to go somewhere else. And was he a good head coach? Probably not. But, you know, he was a good play caller. So, you know, eventually you get over that hump. And then, you know, hopefully there's no more other hurdles you got to get over. But it seems like with Eric Bieniemy, not only do he has to get over that hump of, or that hurdle of, you know, are you really calling the plays or is it really Andy Reid? But he also has, you know, have to get over the hurdle of you not being a good interviewer. So how do you get over that? I mean, there's always, you know, several different ways you can do, you know, a particular thing to try to better yourself, whether it be, and you and I talked about this, Willie, off air, whether it be some guys, as you mentioned, get better as, you know, the more times they do it, the better they become.
Yes. You know? You hopefully grow out of some of that as you get older, get more wisdom.
Exactly.
Like how to do this stuff.
And I know a lot of it has to do with nerves and, you know, and whatnot. It's different from, you know, I know people will probably think, well, he, you know, he stands up in front of his team and he's able to, yeah, well, it's different standing up in front of your team and addressing them. Those are the men that you see every day that you build, you know, you're building relationship with, intimate relationship with them every day, knowing their families, everything else. It's another thing with the owner where you barely see this owner. So you going in for an interview is nothing like standing up in front of the room and talking to 53 men that you've been around, you know, basically every day for a 6 or 7 month period. So, you know, one of the ways you can sort of get over that is you do it more. But it seems like Airbnb has done it, you know, multiple times, and that's still a knock on them. Or you go and you take, you know, you get a specialist to come in and sort of walk you through the process of how you interview, what you say, you know, how you come in, you know, being calm, being patient, you know, having your thoughts in order, or whatnot. So it's going to be hard, it seems like, for him to get a coaching job as long as he stays in Kansas City. I think if he ventures outside of Kansas City, and Seren said it, like, listen, get out of Kansas City first. Go be a coordinator somewhere else. If you can elevate that offense and get that offense as one of the best offenses in the National Football League, then I think it's a little bit easier for that owner that is interviewing you for that head coaching job, because now the excuse no more isn't, oh, it was Andy Reid. Now it's, okay, he did this
he's out of that
Andy
shadow.
Reed. Exactly.
He did, so that makes a lot of sense. And so it would seem that Eric Bieniemy can be had if he's offered the job.
Yeah.
Right? We have to wait. He's got a job to do this weekend. He might, if they win, he's going to coach the Super Bowl. So you got to be waiting weeks if that's the guy that you really want. So I'm curious where that goes. If it stays sort of all quiet on this job and they're not interviewing anybody else, it does make you think that whether it's Kansas City or a couple other teams that are still playing here, they kind of want to talk to some of these guys. But they have to wait until the season's over, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to wait. Now, listen, you have that sort of – it's not a break, but it is a break in between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. It's 2 weeks, so that first week is usually, you know, teams, you know, they're practicing, but everything is so scaled back, getting guys back, getting injury, getting the logistics as far as, you know, when we travel, you know, your tickets and family and all this other stuff. So that first week is sort of scaled down just a tad bit. So that gives you a little bit leeway. If you do want to interview with another team, you can. Not to say that he would do it, but that does give you an opportunity. But if you don't take that opportunity and then subsequently after the Super Bowl, that's when everything pretty much opens up.
So next week we would think is probably a very important week with this. We probably start hearing things next week.
We should in regards to both Nagy and Airbnb, because honestly,
and maybe other candidates for the Titans too. If there's other people on these other teams, like you said, there's even whoever wins these two games. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there should be a window in there on the off week that if you wanted to talk to them, that's the time to do it.
Exactly, and I would think that because, you know, again, we discussed Tim Kelly, and his name doesn't seem like it's circling or swirling in any of these OC jobs around the NFL at this point. It would seem, unless somebody else comes out of the shadows, it seems like Nagy or Bieniemy would more than likely be their first choice if they can get one or the other to come here to coach this offense, because whether they're calling plays full-time for Kansas City or they're calling plays, you know, 40% of the time, that offense is still good, you know.
It sure is. Now, on that, we break and get ready for Ask D-Mace. So, make sure you get your calls and texts. Let's have some fun. It's Friday. You can ask about the championship games coming up. You can ask about the Titans. But we like when you mix it up as well. We could talk movies. We could talk music. We could talk life. D-Mace is a good life coach.
Yeah, life coach, people.
We can talk about travel. We can talk about juice. We can talk about pizza toppings. All these things have come up before on Ask D-Mace. So that's what we like to have fun with. 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace is coming up next.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace, brought to you by Creation CBD. Find their healing products at CreationCompany.com. Use promo code D-Mace, M-A-S-E. Not to be confused with how C-Mace has his handle on the hockey front. It says D-M-A-S-E at CreationCompany.com for 25% off Creation CBD products. All right, 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace anything. First of all, thank you for the shout-out from J.D. and Brentwood on this segment with Seren. He really likes Seren. He's originally from KC. Loved the conversation we had with him. All right, here's the leadoff one from Randy. D-Mace, with a losing record and a new GM, that makes the Titans eligible for Hard Knocks. Any chance the Titans get picked, and how would Mike Vrabel handle that?
Wow. I don't see Vrabel as a Hard Knocks guy. But you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, you got a new GM. I can see it more so, you know, right before the new stadium opens, like the season that the new stadium opens. I can see a Hard Knock then for the Tennessee Titans. I think it would be more attractive for the NFL, you know, ushering a new team into their stadium and then having the Hard Knocks. Having the Hard Knocks as they're moving into their new stadium. This year, I don't know if, you know, Braves will be on board with the Hard Knocks, man. They got too much going on inside those walls.
Kyle texts it and says, what's the biggest adversity you ever had to deal with in sports or life? How did you overcome it? And what do you recommend to someone going through some stuff of their own?
Sports adversity, I mean, listen, sports adversity for me, it doesn't compare to, you know, life adversity, you know, and I've said this before with my adversity on the field. It's that first 3 years being here, not knowing where you fit on the team, always rumored about being traded, you know, knowing that you can play this game but not getting, you know, the opportunity that you feel you deserve, putting in the work but not seeing any fruit from the labor. So that was tough because there were many times where, you know, personally for me, go home and, you know, anxious and nervous and stressed and crying in the shower. And, you know, Marcy at the time telling me everything was going to be okay. And subsequent, you know, obviously everything was okay. But, you know, but when you're a 23-year-old young man, you know, you're starting a family, you know, all these things come into play. So, from a professional standpoint, that was probably the hardest for me. Personally, you know, losing my sister at an early age, and she was 27 when she passed away, then losing my mom 7 years later. And I, you know, I lost my dad 7 years after that, but I had already, you know, I've done playing and whatnot. But still, those three, you know, losses was huge for me. And then also going through a divorce. You know, that stuff, it weighs on you. And I had to find a way to navigate myself through that. And I had a lot of, and still do have a lot of good people on my side. You know, even Marcy, she's still a good friend to me. So, you know, those were hard times for me as far as personally. My professional, you know, whatever, never, it doesn't compare to what I had to go through personally.
Interesting to hear you talk from both sides, the professional side and the personal side. Henry says, as we go from something a little heavier, swinging back to something a little lighter, I'm pretty sure that Derek's old enough to remember this whole debate, so can he settle it? Tastes great or less filling?
I'm not a beer guy, Bubba Smith. Yeah, but tastes great, less filling. I mean, whichever side of the ledger you fall on, it could taste great. It can be less filling as well.
You know, there was a lot of fights in the commercials over this.
Exactly. But I would rather lean more toward the side of taste great, you know.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. It's got to be about the taste, right? Yeah,
absolutely. You know? Well, I guess once you get a little bit older, you know, the taste is great, but you don't want it all, you know.
Yeah.
Pack on a couple pounds.
Yeah, when you're in college, you're not worried about filling that much. No. It's a little more about the taste. You do have to consider both as you get older.
Exactly.
Let's see. What was the craziest halftime, college or pro, that you experienced during your playing days? You could take that any number of directions here. When you were sitting in the locker room or maybe a halftime show. I don't know. Where do you go with that?
I mean, we've had some fiery speeches during halftime. You know, I think the one that for me, it was the Super Bowl, because I had never experienced being in a locker room for that long. You know, it seems like you're in the locker room for hours because the halftime show is so long, and usually we're in the locker room 15 minutes. You know, we're out. We're warming up on the field. But during the Super Bowl, you're in the locker room for like 30, 35 minutes, maybe even a little bit longer. And then you got to sort of try to find things or do things to keep your body warm.
615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben is on the line. Ben, what do you got for D-Mace?
How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
So my question is, what Nashville team, as far as professionals, so the Titans, Predators, or even the soccer team here, will win a championship first?
Wow.
Or soon.
Soon. Wow, man. That's, I think, you know, each team sort of has their own. I don't follow hockey. I mean, not hockey. I don't follow soccer that much. But I know they had a really good team this past season.
And they're so young. They've only been in the league for, what, three seasons?
Yeah.
Two full seasons as they transitioned from – but they've done very well
those
2 years.
Yeah, they've gotten better.
Yeah, they look like they have a very good ownership group, good solid foundation. So they got a shot for sure.
So they have a shot. You know, the Titans have a shot. Preds do as well. I think the Titans and the Preds are sort of on the same – trajectory in regards to, you know, where their team is at now, where they have the potential to go, maybe, you know, a piece here, a piece there. I think it's a little bit easier for the Titans because of the whole salary cap issue that you know, hockey has a hard salary cap. Football salary cap, it's there, but it's not as hard. You know, if I sign a guy to a, you know, 4 or 5 year deal, if he's not playing well after 3 years, I can cut him if the dead money is not large. Well, in hockey, it's not that way. You got him unless you can make a trade with someone else to get rid of that player. So it makes it a little bit hard, I think. And Willie, you can correct me on this. It makes it a little bit hard to sort of win it in that sport than it is in football, because football, we can make a lot of changes in the offseason, considering the salary cap and everything else, free agency, and we can put together a team and we can go. Well, in hockey, you know, if it doesn't work 1 year, you can't just all of a sudden just change a bunch of guys.
It's a little tougher, especially right here while we speak, because the salary cap is a little stagnant right now. I think in the coming years when they add to the cap, it might be a little bit easier to move and shift. So it's a really good question. It's a question that's been asked before, and you know, we're so hungry here. We've now been a pro market. Like when you came to this market, we were we were just starting as a quote major league market. And here we are like a generation later, and nobody's broken through. The Titans have been to the Super Bowl. The Predators have been to the Stanley Cup final. The MLS team has just started, but they've been to the playoffs each year. There's expectations there. So who's going to break through first and bring the city the championship?
I'm going to play a politician here, and I'm saying I hope all three of them win it the same year, okay?
Oh, yes, that would be amazing. City of champions like Pittsburgh back in the day. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, round two of Ask D-Mace. We're having some great questions already. They're lined up. 615-737-1025. Call or text on our phone/text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you were to ask D-Mace what is his favorite movie, this might be considered as the answer, Grease.
Oh, it is the answer, Willie.
Number one.
Number one. That's my favorite movie, man.
Nice. Grease is my number one. I appreciate Grease, no question. And as we said, we all agree.
Grease 2?
No. Grease 2 is a no. Grease 2 is no. Just stick with Grease. Don't worry about Grease 2. But we all recommend Grease.
Yes. Yes, we do.
All right. Back to Ask D-Mace. Bring it on. And by the way, we should say this. The best answer, the prize this week, is tickets to see Nickelback. I love, the other day I saw a TikTok, somebody sent it to me. It was Nickelback making fun of themselves on TikTok. It was quite a good laugh. Somebody was trying to do one of those funky dances, and they just broke into one of their songs. Like, we don't get it. We're just going to stick with our stuff. They're coming, Nick, when? August 1st.
Before tickets go on sale today. So you can get these tickets now before you even have to go buy them.
Ooh.
Extra incentive to jump in and ask the base. 615-737-1025. So, the next one. Derek, you are stranded on an island. What three items are you bringing with you?
Who asked that question? No name.
Unnamed texter.
Gosh, unnamed.
Such a bummer when they don't put your name on there.
All right. I would somehow, some way, have a solar-powered cell phone, because it's always going to be sun.
So on a desert island, you would think. You're going to get some
solar-powered sun. Yeah, so I can use the cell phone to get rescued.
And then you're not there very long. It's problem solved. You don't need anything else.
Some type of mechanism or some type of machine that can generate water, like they can catch the water and generate it. I know there's
process it, get it ready. Yes. Yeah, you don't want to be drinking salt water.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
So I need to have that, and then a net. Get me a net because I got to catch. I'm on an island, right?
You're on an
island.
I got to
catch fish.
You got to eat.
So give me a net.
Okay.
Give me a net.
Yeah. All right.
Good answers. Want a knife. I don't want a spear. Give me a net.
And hopefully you have a good network, you know, for the cell phone to...
Exactly. I don't plan on being there long.
I thought you might go with flare gun. Somebody help me.
But I only get one flare. I mean, only get one flare. So I'd rather have that solar powered cell phone.
All right. Let's go to Doug. He's on line one. Doug, what do you got for D-Mace?
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Mason. I know that you've had 15 years in the league and going to be Hall of Famer. And oh, by the way, you need to have something to make fire. Just throw it out there.
But I can do that. I can just rub
You've had your 15 years in the league. Now, if you get your 15 minutes of fame on the big screen, what are you going to be? NCIS guy, Magnum PI, action hero, good guy, bad guy, dancer. When you get on the big screen, what are you going to be?
Man.
What character would you play?
Character?
All right. What type of character?
Man, it would have to almost, you know... Gosh, that would be tough. It would have to be a drama, but sort of a love drama. You know?
Okay,
yeah.
You got to have a love interest.
Yeah, got to have a love interest, you know, but it has to be a drama because I want to be able to, you know, figure some things out.
Okay.
You know, and you know, it has to be a sort of...
What's your occupation? Are you a cop or are you like... Investigator?
Fireman? Nah. I am a FBI agent.
Lawyer.
FBI agent.
FBI agent.
Yeah,
ooh, now we're
FBI
talking.
FBI agent, yes. FBI agent. Got my love interest. But it's a drama. I'm going out. And I'm
so it's not a comedy.
It's not a comedy.
Yeah, you're trying to solve a big crime.
Yeah, I want my true acting skills to come out.
Yes.
I want to win an award for my acting skills.
Okay. Now we're talking.
So we're talking drama, FBI. Or, you know, maybe a doctor. Yeah.
Okay, now what city is it set? Is it set in Detroit, like where you're from?
No.
Is it like Axel Foley here, or is it, you know, California?
You know,
like where, or Hawaii, like Magnum P.I.? Like where is this set?
It's set in New York.
NYC, okay.
NYC. Even New York or Chicago.
Okay. Big city.
Yeah, big city.
Big city.
Yeah.
A lot going on. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of places to hide. But you gotta dig in.
But I am traveling.
Yeah.
I am traveling.
Okay.
You know,
well, so, I think we got the makings of a good show.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, too.
All right. Joey from Bellevue says, D-Mace, would you be open
yes.
to opening up your own clean juice shop and show the community how a smoothie should be made?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know.
What are we calling it?
D-Smooth.
Shut up! Get that mouth shut!
D-Smooth. I can see the line is going out
D-Smoothie.
The door right now. Wait, but Derek, you can't make them. Remember your one epiphany that you had with the clean juice was that the owner made it and got it wrong.
But yes. I wouldn't make them. I would
You'd
just
hire, the,
hire
you,
some good people.
I know who your first hire would be, too. That person in the old spot that got it right.
They got it right every time. Okay. I would hire both of them to get the smoothies right. But it would be called D-Smoothie.
What about, you could hire Chris Sanders.
Nah, definitely not. Nope. Chris wouldn't get it right. I know he wouldn't. He wouldn't get it right.
He wouldn't even be the greeter at the door.
I could make him the greeter. Yeah,
he'd be a good greeter.
Yeah, he'd be a great greeter.
I don't know if he could make a smoothie. But
one of your drinks could be Go Green, Go White.
There we go.
Ooh,
see? Nick, you
Nick.
Can be my you can be marketing. My guy. Marketing guy.
Marketing guy go. Right here.
I like that, Nick.
Why is the goat? The goat!
All right, let's get to Deborah. Deborah, welcome in. What do you got for D-Mace?
Oh, my goodness. Why didn't we win the Super Bowl? Who made the call when we went to Super Bowl in 99? Wasn't it 99?
Yes.
Yes.
Because when I was watching it that night, I was like, no way. On the 2-yard line, no way. And I just wondered who made that call. Was it the offense coordinator or who?
Okay, we're talking about the last place.
Last place.
Deborah,
call.
Good question.
Yeah,
okay.
Good question, Deborah. I blame it, and I've already told these people too. So it's not like I'm saying something new that I haven't told these people, and I say it sort of tongue-in-cheek. One, I blame Bishop. Because he got hurt in there trying to hit Ernie Mill. Was it Ernie?
Was it Torrey Holt?
No. It was the tight end.
Oh, the tight end.
Yeah, Ernie. What was Ernie's last name? Not Ernie Mills. He's the linebacker. Gosh, I forget. But the big tight end. Blaine went in there, as Blaine usually do, trying to take somebody's head off, and he gets hurt. So now we're down our safety. And then I blame Javon Kearse for being so darn good that he got around Fred Miller and he hit Kurt Warner's arm, which made the ball underthrown. And Torrey Holt was able to come back and get it. Well, Isaac Bruce was able to come back and get it and score a touchdown. That was a good play that was called, that Les Steckel called on that play. You know, it was designed perfectly, I think. But you know, the Rams played a perfect defense. It was one of those deals where, hey, perfect call, perfect defense. You know, who was it? Was it Fletcher that made the tackle?
It was Mike.
Mike Jones.
Mike Jones. Yeah.
Mike Jones made the
tackle.
I knew
it was. I was thinking Davis.
He was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Dice made it. Steve, really good pass. Dice, really good catch. Mike Jones, even better tackle, you know.
All right,
if Dyson was 6'5", then maybe he would have 6'6", maybe he would have stretched it in. But he's only 6'2".
Outstanding question. We have some people that did not originally put their name next to the text, but we have them now. So we'll get our winner here in a moment for the Nickelback tickets. Last one, Keith from Bowling Green. Favorite Super Bowl halftime show?
Keith Bowling Green. For me, God, it either had to be Whitney or Prince. God, Whitney Prince. Just throw them up in the air, whichever one falls on the ground first.
So those are your two
finalists. Yeah, those
two
are finalists. I got to go with Prince. It was a one-man show, and he killed it. He did his thing, as Prince always do.
Yeah.
He did his thing, but Whitney did her thing, too. Can't nobody surpass Whitney when it comes to... You know, but she didn't do the halftime show. She did the national anthem. My bad.
She did the national anthem. Yeah.
Yeah. Prince did the halftime show. So Prince.
Okay. So Prince is the answer. All right. Some excellent stuff for Ask D-Mace. We will crown the champion who gets the Nickelback tickets here in a moment. The final hour of the show is coming up next. Thanks for everybody joining us. We do this every Friday at 12:30, so we'll talk to you again in 1 week in this category. Stay tuned. We're coming back. We'll talk some Predators, and then we'll circle back and get the final analysis on the AFC and NFC championship games. That's coming up.